V'haya Ekev Tishma'un Eis Hamishpatim Ha'ele Ushmartem Va'asisem Osam Vishamar Hashem Elokecha Lecha Es Habris Ve'es Hachesed Asher Nishba La'avosecha.
Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Come right over. Ah, you're here. Good. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable?
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. Stop. I've always continued by saying I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and I realized just today that the reason that I have said welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio is to make the show as a verbal or vocal version of Torah Tidbits, which essentially is in print. That's why I called it issue. Therefore, I should follow, not with I am your host, which would be a show host of a radio program, but I am your editor, chief cook and bottle washer, editor-in-chief, but I think I'll go with that. So let's try it again. Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your editor, Phil Chernofsky, and this show, I could say that, and this show is for Parshat Ekev. Recording and first broadcast, I bet you'd like to know that, is Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 21st day of Menachem Av, corresponding to the 9th day of August. In the Jewish calendar, it's the year 5772, and figure out for yourself what the secular year is. Okay, let's begin with Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130, and then I have a lot to tell you and to share with you. Shir hama'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tehiyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Imavonot tishmorya Adonai miya amod, ki imacha hasalicha lama'an tivarei. Ki vi ti Adonai kiveta nafshi velidvoro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omidim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha'makom yirachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha u'meafela la'ora, u'mishibud l'gu'ula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar, amen. First, before I forget, this Shabbat is Shabbat Mevorachim. We bench Rosh Chodesh. That's a combination of announcing the upcoming Rosh Chodesh and asking God to bless our lives for good. What you hear in the background, if you do, is a siren. We've been hearing a bunch of them today. I don't know why, but it happens a lot, unfortunately. And Rosh Chodesh will be next Shabbat, Ulamachrato, and the following day, Sunday. Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rosh Chodesh Elul is that beginning of the month that sort of gets people into the nervous mode of realizing that it's coming around to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur again, with Sukkot shortly thereafter. Only 1 month to go. We're standing now 5 weeks or so before Rosh Hashanah, and it's coming on strong. Of, the month of, aside from everything else it is, Someone pointed out that the letters of Aleph Bet can be the initial letters of Elul Ba. Elul is coming. And I would say certainly after Tisha B'Av and after Shabbat Nachamu, when the mournful period for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash begins to fade a little, we now face the upcoming Elul and the period of introspection and contemplation and resolution and tshuva, repentance. And we'll talk more about that once we get into the month of Elul and get even closer to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So that's one thing that I wanted to point out. We will say this Shabbat that Rosh Chodesh is next Shabbat and Sunday. Okay, as far as the opening music this week, little easy for those who are trying to catch my choice of opening tunes and relate somewhat to the Sedra. Last week in Parshat Vo'etchanan, I did not get any correct responses. I got a shrug of the shoulders from our regular challengee from Rochester, New York, Mark and his family. And as I remember correctly, one of them was Father Knows Best, which had to do with Kabed et avicha ve et imecha, honor your father and your mother. It also had to do with God saying that we are his children, and speaking of when you have children, and the fact that whether Father Knows Best or Mother Knows Best or a combination of the two, Judaism is very strong on no generation gap and strong transmission of traditions and values from the father and mother to the child. Shema b'ni musar avicha v'al titosh torat imecha. Statement in Mishlei, and gives a function and a role for the parents. The mitzvah to learn Torah, which is counted in last week's Sedra of Vo'etchanan, but occurs again in this week's Sedra, because last week we had the first passage of the Shema, and this week we have the second passage of the Shema, and in both of them, stated a little bit differently, we have the command to teach your children Torah. Last week it was Vishinan Tam Livanecha, review this with your children. Here it's Vilimadtem Otam et Benechem, teach your these things, these mitzvot to your children, ledaber bam, to speak them, b'shiftecha b'veitecha uvelechtecha v'aderech, when they are home and when they are on the road, and you can darshan that in a very nice way, that the role of parents in educating their children is not just book learning, but it is for Torah values of everything one needs in life. And either parents do a good job or they don't do a good job, but the Torah expresses the mitzvah to study Torah as study it and teach it with your children to the next generation. That's the value that Judaism puts on Torah learning. So Father Knows Best was one of the tunes last week. It would apply this week as well. Just for what I just said, it belongs more to last week. And the other one was for a show that I've never seen called The Listener. And that's because of Shema Yisrael and its counterparts. That's not the only time it said Shema Yisrael, the famous one. But I chose that theme. This week, as I said, the opening theme is kind of obvious, and I hope to come up with something a little bit more difficult to figure out for the second half of the show. I want to now say something that I am sure I have said before. I'll try to do it a little differently. And I'm not really apologizing for it, but it's a story that came at a very pivotal time in my life, or it's the story about this pivotal time. I grew up in a Zionistic, religious Zionistic environment, fostered by my parents, supported by Bnei Akiva, which I attended, and there was always that hope and feeling of someday we will live in Israel, and not necessarily wait for the Mashiach, but to go when we could. But it was vague. I had an event that occurred to me 43 years ago, in the summer of 1969, when I was a madrich. I had just recently graduated Yeshiva University, and I was a madrich that summer, a counselor that summer of a high school group to Israel. My credentials were based on having visited Israel 7 years earlier in 1962 as a young fellow, and really it was more to be a counselor, not a guide, so I was coming along to see the country as well, obviously. And it was Shabbat Nachamu in the afternoon. A boy in the group had been assigned by me to say a Dvar Torah at the third Shabbat meal, Seudah Shlishit. He came to me right after we davened Mincha on our way into the dining room for Seudah Shlishit. He said, "I forgot all about it, I'm not prepared, I'm not speaking." Those situations, it fell to me to pinch hit. So we had just davened Mincha, and on Shabbat Nachamu, which is Parshat Vo'et Chanan, last Shabbat, we read the first portion of the coming week's reading, Akev, this week's Torah reading. And I open up the Siddur to the portion of the Torah reading for Shabbat afternoon, and I take a quick look, and a pasuk, a verse, jumps out of the Siddur and smacks me right between the eyes. That pasuk is not unique. In fact, last week in Vo'et Chanan, the idea that's expressed in this pasuk shows up in several different verses, and it is a repeated theme of Moshe Rabbeinu's farewell address to the people. And yet this is the one that hit me between the eyes. Kol HaMitzvah, the entire commandment, which means everything. Asher Anochi Mitzavacha Hayom, that I command you today, Tishmerun La'asot, you shall observe to perform. For what purpose? Lema'an tichyun urvitem, in order that you may live and multiply, increase, uvatem virishtem et ha'aretz, and come and possess the land, asher nishba Hashem la'avoteichem, the land that God swore to your forefathers. There it was for me, a Torah observant Jew from birth, as they say, FFB, a smicha student, a graduate of Yeshiva College, 4 years of Yeshiva College, Yeshiva's university's high school before that, and 9 years of Crown Heights Yeshiva before that, a whole commitment of my early life to Torah and mitzvot. And here, in that little portion of Akev, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the people who have received the Torah at Sinai, who have studied the Torah and the mitzvot with him throughout the 40-year wandering period, and now they are in Arvot Moav, in the Moav Plains in Jordan, on the other side of the river, about to cross over into the land. And Moshe, who is not privileged to go into the land, says to the people, everything that I have taught you is for the purpose of living, multiplying, and being in that land which God promised us, conquering it and settling it and observing the mitzvot there. One day, when I have time, I'm going to sit down and collect all the verses that say the same thing in different words. There are a lot of them. This particular one is, I actually like some of the others even better, but this is mine, because this is the one that jumped off the page and struck me between the eyes. Now, as I remember, and maybe I am romanticizing it a little bit, or fantasizing it a little bit, but this is my memory. At that moment, I was 21 plus a little. My beard, which I have had since then, was just brand new that summer. And at that moment, I made my decision that my future was in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, and in the state of Israel. I didn't know yet how soon or not I'd be able to come. You make choices, and sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're not so good, and there's no point, I believe, in recriminating and in analyzing, and I wish I could have, should have, done have, whatever. That's not very constructive. But I know that at that moment, my decision was my future is here in Israel. Period. It took me 12 years till I came on Aliyah from that point. And yet, I look to that moment more than I look, a little bit more, not a lot, but more than I do to the 17th of Elul when I came, going on 31 years ago. This is 43 years ago, 12 years before. That was my decision. And I am telling you, listeners, this story. If you live in Israel and you're listening to the show, okay, so I hope you're considering it to be a nice story. And I'm sure you have your own. If you don't live here, then my story is meant to wake you up, as many of the things that I say on this show are meant to do. And maybe it's meant to give a certain twist, a certain perspective, a focus. It's one thing to make up your mind to come on Aliyah. A lot of details, a lot of difficulties. The two biggest ones would be Parnassa, livelihood, and geographically divided families. I got an email, not an email. I definitely didn't get an email. I got an aerogram, the first one I've got in a long, long, long time, from a cousin of mine, a close cousin of mine, who lives in the States, who doesn't have email, and that's why I have an aerogram. People saw this and they said, wow, I haven't seen one of those in a long time. And it still serves as a reminder that I left family back in the States. Baruch Hashem, my two brothers live here, and a couple of cousins, but I have many cousins and their children, who I call cuzzlings, and the next generation, cuzzlingettes or cuzlets, I don't remember, I gave words to these things, not the point, and you miss them. But there's one thing to say, I'm going, and there's a different thing to say, I don't know yet how I'm going to do this, when I'm going to do this, but I know that is my goal. It's not a maybe, it was a definite. And I felt very good to be able to say that, even though It took me 12 years to get here. But you need that in your life also. You need, when you hear in the Chumash, Kalev ben Yefuneh standing up to 10 prominent leaders of the tribes, the Meraglim, and say, no, not what you say. If God wants us to go there, then that's where we should go. Alo na'ale, let's go. And that is not just from the Chumash 3,300 plus years ago. That has to be part of every Jew's life at a certain point. Hopefully sooner than later. So I wanted to share that. The beginning of Akev is very beautiful. Has a lot of things in it, and of course you could say that all of Torah is beautiful, which it is. But let's get back on the track of where we started, which is the opening verse. This shall be the reward when you hearken to these ordinances and you observe and perform them. Hashem, your God, will safeguard for you the covenant and the kindness that he swore to your forefathers. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. And he will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain, your wine, and your oil, the offspring of your cattle and the flocks of your sheep and goats, on the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. You will be most blessed of all the peoples. There will be no infertile male or infertile female among you, nor among your animals. Hashem will remove from you every illness and all the bad maladies of Egypt that you knew. He will not put them upon you, but will put them upon your foes. And it goes on and on. Promises, prophecies of what happens if we stay faithful to God and follow his values, his teachings, his statutes, his mitzvot, his laws. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Are listening to Torah Tibbetz audio for Parshat Akev, and he just decided to leave that whole minute and 10 second piece because it was nice, and it is connected to the Sedra, and I'll let any of the listeners email me with one or both of the opening music for each half of the show. But I asked you to hold a thought, and we get back into that thought. Many different places in the Torah, God says to us, here's the deal. You keep the Torah, you keep the mitzvot, you stay faithful to me. Things are going to be good. You don't, and things are going to be bad. This is nationally, and this is individually. And sometimes it's said softly, and sometimes it's said with a sledgehammer. In a couple of weeks' time, we read Parshat Ki Tavo, which contains one of the two tochachas of the Torah, heavy, heavy threat as to what happens if the Jewish people do not remain faithful to God. Terrible, terrible things are scheduled to happen because of that. Here, you have the positive side. That means if you keep these mitzvot, then good things will happen. Towards the end of Parshat Ekev, as I mentioned already, we have the second passage of the Shema. This is recited by requirement. Men are obligated, women is optional but recommended. At least twice a day, the Shema that's part of Shacharit and the Shema that's part of Arvit. And if you don't daven Arvit, at least the reciting of the Shema. And some people suffice it with the first passage as part of Kriyat Shema al Hamita, but others will say, women, the full three passages, and there are reasons for it, which we won't go into now. Bottom line, the words of the second passage, which come from the end of Parshat Ekev, are said twice a day, are contained in every mezuzah on every doorpost that carries a mezuzah, Shema V'yahavta and V'hoya'im Shemoah. It is one of the four parshiot in every pair of tefillin, both the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, and it contains the deal. We refer to the passage as Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot, the acceptance of the yoke of God's commandments, but it starts in the same kind of way that the parsha did, the Sedra. V'haya im shamoa tishmu el mitzvotai. It will be that if you hearken to my commandments that I command you today, to love God, to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I shall provide rain for your land in its proper time, the early and the late rains, that you may gather in your grain, your wine, and your oil, meaning the olives. I shall provide grass in your field for your cattle, and you will eat, and you will be satisfied. But then the tone changes. Beware for yourselves, lest your heart be seduced, and you turn astray, and serve gods of others, and prostrate yourselves to them. Then the wrath of Hashem will blaze upon you. He will restrain the heaven, so there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its produce, and you will be swiftly banished from the goodly land that Hashem gives you. You shall place these words of mine upon your heart and upon your soul. You shall bind them for a sign upon your arm, and let them be an ornament between your eyes. That's the tefillin I referred to earlier. You shall teach them to your children to discuss them while you sit in your home, while you are walking on the way, when you retire at night and when you arise in the morning. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates, the mezuzah, in order to prolong your days and the days of your children upon the land that Hashem has sworn to your forefathers to give them, like the days of the heaven over the earth. That is the second passage of Shema. It contains the deal from God, and it is the essence of many, many portions of the Torah. I don't know how much more I could say about that. A couple of weeks ago, I probably mentioned the division of the Book of Devarim, and what I've been saying now fits nicely to review that. The first three parshiot, the first three sedras of the Book of Devarim, Devarim, Vayetchanan, and Ekev, have relatively few mitzvot, are the setting down of the 40-year history of the Jewish people to that point, the basics, fundamentals, foundations of Judaism, and that's why, before we get to Parshat Re'eh next week, we have this encapsulation of the deal. Follow God, keep his mitzvot, his Torah, and things will be good. You don't, things will not be good. Then you have the second part of Devarim, which is next week's Re'eh, followed by Shofetim, followed by Ki Teitze, three sedras out of 54 that contain 170 mitzvot. But that's followed by the last portion, which is Ki Tavo, Nitzavim, Vayelech, Ha'azinu, and Vizot HaBracha, again, relatively few mitzvot. But then again, you have the restatement of the deal in many different ways. You have the heavy sledgehammer that I referred to before of the Tochacha. You have the more poetic form of Ha'azinu. You have the concept of free will and free choice as presented in Nitzavim, and the opportunity to repent if one chooses wrong. And those all go on the two sides, the two bookends of those heavy mitzvah sedras, where you don't get the mussar, and you don't get the be careful to do this and stuff. You get 170 out of the 613 mitzvot stated in those three sedras. So that's pretty much the way the Book of Devarim feels. Here in Akev, I would like to switch over to an idea. I wrote about it in the lead tidbit, and I spoke about it at a shiur earlier this week, and I need to keep doing it. Here on the radio, and Shabbat morning, I'll be speaking in the senior citizens' residence in my neighborhood, and I'm probably going to talk about this also. We have, I think, two significant examples of very basic mitzvot, which we have, which have a common style to them, in that God gives us the bare bones command, and our sages filled it out in such a way that we have sources that indicated God's pleasure and joy, so to speak, in the way that the children of Israel took to these mitzvot. I refer to the mitzvot of making blessings and the mitzvah of prayer. Let's take them separately for a moment. The Torah says, actually, I'm going to read it because it's a beautiful passage. It's at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's opening remarks of the Sedra to the people, where he says to them, to us, I am getting it now in front of me, he says, remember what I said before about what hit me on the forehead and smacked me between the eyes? He tells them about what happened over the 40 years, and he gets to the tachlis, the essential purpose. Ki Hashem Elokecha Mivyacha El Eretz Tova Eretz Nachale Mayim Ayanos Usahomos Yotzeim Babika Uvahor. Translated, for Hashem your God is bringing you to a good land, a land with streams of water, of springs and underground water, coming forth in valley and mountain. Then we have a famous verse of the seven species. Eretz chita usa'ora, v'gefen usa'ena v'rimon, Eretz zeis shemen u'devash, a land of wheat, barley, grapes, figs, and pomegranate, a land of oil, olives, and date honey. Continue. Eretz asher lo v'miskenus, tochal ba lechem lo sechsar kol ba. Eretz asher avaneha varzel, Umehararaha tachzov nechoshet, a land where you will eat your bread without poverty, you will lack nothing there, a land whose stones are iron and from whose mountains you will mine copper. And then another famous verse. Famous, I mean, well known because of how often we say it. V'achalta v'savata uveirachta es Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz hatova asher natan lach. You will eat and you will be satisfied and bless Hashem your God for the good land that he gave you. This is the verse which commands us to say Birkat HaMazon. The rule of the Torah is, if you have a full, satisfying meal, you are required to acknowledge God and say the blessing for food, called Birkat HaMazon, translated into English, which I'm sure has some influence of other cultures, grace after meals. Birkat HaMazon, known as benching, originally from the German and the Yiddish, the benching is well known to observant Jews, and after meals they take a birkon, a little bencherel, and they bench. Chazal, our sages, took this command and they ran with it. And they said, first of all, after even less than a satisfying meal, after a minimum of a kazayit, an olive bulk of food, one has to say an after bracha. Not required by the Torah, but no less part of halacha. We have Birkat HaMazon if bread is involved, even if you're not satisfied. You have the Bracha Acharona, known as Bracha Me'ein Shalosh, the abridged version, we'll call it, after pastries and spaghetti and cookies and many, many other things that come from grain. That related bracha with different wording goes after wine of a specific amount or more. It goes after the fruits mentioned in the verse, which I read a little earlier, of the seven species. The five fruits contained therein are olives, dates, grapes, figs, and pomegranates. After consuming any of those, and raisins, which are grapes, and dried figs or fresh figs, and dried dates or fresh dates, doesn't matter, we say a special after bracha, which is an abridged version of Birkat HaMazon. But it is rabbinically legislated. I don't say that so that people won't take it seriously. It's part of Jewish law. But it is an example of God saying relatively little about this topic of blessing him after we eat. And our sages went and they said, not enough. We, and they have the authority to do this, we require after brachot in these situations. And not only that, we require brachot before you eat. And the requirement of a bracha before we eat is even stricter in a certain way than the after brachot, because after brachot require a specific significant amount of consumption within a certain amount of time, and a before bracha requires the tiniest morsel, a smidgen. I used as an example this week, if someone is cleaning up the table after a Shabbat meal, after Birkat HaMazon, and everybody's finished, and everybody's gone for their Shabbat nap, or for reading, or learning, or playing a game, and you're cleaning the table. And on the table, among other things, is one tiny, crisp, brown, toasted sesame seed that fell off of the challah. And you would like to lick your fingertip, touch it to the sesame seed so it comes up, and pop it in your mouth. A bracha is required. The bracha for a sesame seed would be Borei Pri HaAdama, and it's required because there is no minimum amount that one would be allowed to eat without a blessing. A drop of water, a tiny crumb, require a before bracha. Now this is again part of our sages running with the ball, meaning they took the lead from God in the Torah, who required benching, and they said, we, by the power invested in us by the Torah, require people to say before blessings and after blessings. And it's not just for food. There are five different blessings for fragrant smells. And there are brachot for sounds, like thunder or an earthquake. And there are brachot for sights, like a rainbow, like lightning, like a shooting star or a comet. And there are brachot before we perform mitzvot. Another example of our sages, Chazal, Chachameinu Zichronam Livracha, running with the ball. God said, you have to dwell in a sukkah. The rabbis say, you make a bracha when you perform that mitzvah. God said, in the evening of the Seder, you eat matzah. Our sages said, yep, but right before you eat that matzah, you not only say, Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, which is the bracha for consumption of matzah, but you say asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav, acknowledging God who sanctifies us with his mitzvot and commanded us on the eating of matzah. All brachot which we have, except for birkat hamazon over a full satisfying meal, and possibly not counting either birchot ha'torah, which might be from the Torah itself, all the brachot and all of the rules of brachot are of rabbinic origin. I say that not to lessen one's enthusiasm and commitment to do them, but to explain that not every single thing that God wants us to do did he spell out. There are certain things, and I know this in my gut, because of the way I was brought up. When my mother, Oleha HaShalom, of blessed memory, would say, I am not going to say no, but you know that you're not supposed to do that. Or, I am not going to say yes. Well, usually it was the not saying no. But you know what you're supposed to do. That is a level which our sages brought us to, by various legislations of rabbinic law, in their overview of halacha, of mitzvot, and in the charge to them of enhancing the mitzvot, protecting the mitzvot, encouraging our observance of the mitzvot. Various and sundry motives that go into rabbinic legislation. But it is a very significant thing, and we will see in a couple of weeks' time the source in the Torah of God's requiring us to follow the dictates of our sages, and therefore it's really his laws in the first place, with the difference that it was formulated by the rabbinic coding. We are quickly running out of time. I'll just mention the other topic from this sedra, which is also a case of our sages running with the ball, and that is prayer. Now here you have something even stranger or more interesting. Rambam Maimonides says, mitzvat aseh, a positive commandment of the Torah, to pray every day. As it says, and you shall serve him, capital H, with all your heart. What is service of the heart? Prayer. Ramban, Nachmanides says prayer is not one of the 613 mitzvot of the Torah. Prayer is a rabbinic command. Maimonides says, in essence, it starts out as a Torah command, but certainly, again, I use the same term, our sages ran with the ball. They required three times a day, and the timing of those three times, and the texts of those three times, and all the other prayer that comes from our heart, is woven together with that. On that note, I will bid you a Shabbat Shalom, l'hishtameah.